ਖਿਆਲ ਸੁਣੀ ਸ਼ੈਨੂੰ ਕਦੇ ਮਾ ਫਨਾ ਬੇ ਤੋਦਾ ਬਿਜ਼ਨੀ ਰੁਤ ਨਰੀਆਂ ਲੋ ਖੇਲ ਗਦੋਲ ਦੋਨਾਈ ਉਮੇਲੇਖ ਗਦੋਲ ਨਾਲ ਕੋਲ ਲੋਈ
Today we continue our series, Selah, Summer in the Psalms. We've been talking about the book of Psalms this summer, and we know that it's a collection of 150 poems, songs, and prayers that express a wide variety of emotions. God created us with this ability to experience this wide range of emotions, and the Psalms actually give us an opportunity to acknowledge the reality of those feelings. The Psalms also help us confront our emotions so they become a pathway of intimacy for God. Each week we've been considering a different psalm. This week we're going to do a psalm from Book 2. We're going to look at Psalm 42. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you can open them up. If you'd like to use our chair Bibles, you'll find this on page 460. Many of the psalms have introductory notes, and Psalm 42 is another one that does. In the intro video, we've been showing clips from the life of David because many of the Psalms are written by David at different points in his life. But Psalm 42 identifies itself as a psalm of the descendants of Korah. So before we consider this psalm, it might be a good idea to figure out who are the sons of Korah. In the time of Moses, when the Israelites left slavery in Egypt and they journeyed through the wilderness of Sinai, we first hear some important things. In Numbers 3, we read that the Lord appointed Aaron and his sons to serve as priests, and he set apart the tribe of Levi to serve as their assistants. The Levites were charged with taking care of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the tent that was the worship place of God, and it had furnishings that included the Ark of the Covenant. Now there were three sons of Levi. They were Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. The Gershonites were responsible for all the tents and the curtains and the coverings in the tabernacle. The Merarites were responsible for the frames, crossbars, posts, and the bases of the tabernacle. And the Kohathites were responsible for the specific articles in the sanctuary, including the table, the lampstand, the altar, and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, unlike the Gershonites and the Merarites, who were allowed to transport the items in their care on carts, the Kohathites had to carry their items on their shoulders. Then the Kohathites would carry these items as the camp moved, but they were not allowed to touch the items or they would die. So the priests had to wrap the sacred objects in special coverings before they were transported, and many of the Kohathites began to loathe this task and they coveted the role of the priests. Korah was the grandson of Kohath, and he began to run with another group of Reubenite malcontents named Dathan, Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth. In number 16, we read that they roused a group of 250 men to challenge the leadership of Moses and Aaron. So Moses summoned the rebellious men to stand before the people and to burn incense before God. And we see in Numbers 26, verses 9 through 11, this Dathan and Abiram are the same community leaders who conspired with Korah against Moses and Aaron, rebelling against the Lord. But the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them with Korah, and the fire devoured 250 of their followers. And this served as a warning to the entire nation of Israel. However, the sons of Korah did not die that day. God destroyed those who turned against him, but he still had a purpose for the family line of Korah. And after seven successive generations, the prophet Samuel came from the line of Korah. And one group of the Korahites joined David in various military exploits, and they became expert warriors. And during the time of David's reign as king of Israel, the sons of Korah became great leaders of music, and they are listed as the writers of 11 Psalms. So even though this family did not start out on a very good footing, they were redeemed, and they were used in a mighty way, and 11 of their songs are recorded in the book of Psalms. Psalm 42 is one of them. So at this time, I'd like us to go ahead with this understanding to read what they sang about. Some of these words will be familiar from our songs this morning, right? Thank you, Joy. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizmar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, "Where is this God of yours?" Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God, and I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now that is a very interesting psalm, isn't it? Because there are parts of the psalm that cry out like God has abandoned them. And then there are other parts of the psalm that express their trust and their hope in God. But this psalm delineates the people went through troubling times. Day and night, I have only tears for food. My enemies continually taunt me. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I'm deeply discouraged. I'm oppressed by my enemies. God, why have you forgotten me? Have you ever been through a time in your life when you maybe felt some of those things? I know I have. And this is the first of the psalms we've talked about in this series that come from a type of psalm that was identified. If you were here week one, you might remember we looked at an overview of the book of Psalms. And up here in the right corner is the division of the two. There are lament and praise psalms, and this definitely falls in the category of a lament. A lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow, often in poetry or song. In fact, you may kind of recognize from the word lament that there's a whole book of prophecy written that's called Lamentations, that's about the laments of God's people. But whenever we read a psalm of lament, it helps us identify with feelings of discouragement and being oppressed or brokenhearted. And so I ask the question, have you ever been sad? Have you ever felt like you were covered with a cloud of gloom and doom? I think most of us have been through things that might have helped us to feel this way. But I got to tell you, I normally don't like to have to watch commercials. But a few years ago, there was one commercial where I saw the most discouraged and oppressed-looking faces, the most broken-hearted faces on some people. And I don't know if you saw this, but when I was thinking about being sad in this cloud of gloom and doom, this commercial came to mind.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's that time of year again.
They're going back. Staples.
over 7,000 supplies at guaranteed low prices.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Staples. That was easy.
I can't think of a time of the year that makes boys and girls feel more discouraged and down than when it's time to go back to school. And while we kind of laugh about that, many of us have been through things in our lives that don't bring that kind of response. But I want you to know that in this psalm, Psalm 42, we see three things from the sons of Korah that help us to overcome troubling times. I'd like us to consider these this morning. The first thing is that we must develop a passionate thirst for God. We sang about it this morning, and then we read about it in the scriptures. This idea that as the deer longs for water, so my heart longs for God. I found this beautiful, majestic picture, but I also found a little video online that showed a deer who was also thirsty, but found an interesting source of water. This little buck had a hard time figuring out the sprinkler system, but finally got at an angle where he could take a drink. But this is a beautiful song that we've sang this morning and a beautiful scripture that as the deer pants for water, so we also should long for the Lord. And I think the sons of Korah recognized that the source of fulfillment in life doesn't come from the things many of us try to put into our lives to achieve that fulfillment. But it comes from genuinely being satisfied by drinking from what God has for us. It reminds me in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus was teaching the people in Matthew 5:6, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." And if you seek to follow the Lord and live by his standard of what's right and wrong, you will find satisfaction. You will find fulfillment in life. I'm also reminded of a time when Jesus stopped in Samaria at a well, and he talked with a Samaritan woman there in John 4:13-14. And Jesus pointed to the well water and said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But no one who drinks the water I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain that gives eternal life." Jesus also used this analogy of water in John 7 at the end of one of the Jewish festivals. He's talking to the crowds in John 7:37-39, and he says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. Jesus used that same idea of a thirst fulfilled, and he makes that offer to those who come to him. And so I think as we consider Psalm 42 and this song of the sons of Korah, it begs a question for each one of us to consider. And that is, are you thirsty for God? Have you come to the place where nothing else satisfies? Have you come to the place where you're willing to, as Jesus says, come to him and drink? When you face troubling times, nothing else is going to satisfy the longings of our hearts other than coming to Jesus and drinking. I think a second thing that we see in this psalm when we face troubled times is we must develop a new perspective. A lot of times when we're in the middle of a dark valley, all we can see is what's right in front of us. And because it's dark and because it may be painful, we tend to focus on the darkness and the pain. But the Lord says that we need to form a new perspective. Now, as I was thinking about this, I found some rather interesting images that are taken by photographers. They're called perspective photography. I thought this was a pretty cool image of this bridge over this river. It's not really a circle or an oval, but it sure looks that way with the reflection of the water. But you have to have that right perspective. Here's another interesting perspective photograph. And just by the placement of the shoes, they look huge, like this guy's got really big feet. Or here's another one that I found interesting. The family dog, and boy, is it a big one. I found this one of a child having a snack. Is it ice cream or is it a cloud? Depends on your perspective. Another one for you pet lovers. All depends on your perspective. Or what about this one? Never thought the Leaning Tower of Pisa would be good for a footrest, but... And I found one other landmark image that was kind of interesting. But it all depends on your perspective. And we need to develop a new perspective that's from God. Again, when we're in the darkness of the valley, when we're going through tough times, it's too easy to focus on the darkness and the pain, but we need to seek this perspective that God wants us to have. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? Where the sons of Korah write this in both verses 5 and 11. Part of the reason for their discouragement and sadness was they remembered how it used to be. They remembered being in a vast crowd worshiping God. And I guess at the time the song was written, they weren't experiencing that. They also remembered God and His grandeur. And I don't know about you, but when sometimes I'm going through a difficult time, it helps me to get out in nature, away from things, away from people, and focus on God. And when I saw this image of the mountains and the ocean, nothing is more humbling than getting out in nature and recognizing the hand of God. So how do we remember? Well, the sons of Korah say, through each night, I sing His songs. They say, I pray to God who gives me life. I know when I was going through troubled times, I went to the effort of making a CD that specifically had songs that talked about worshiping God and He being the God that takes me through it. And when we think about singing His songs and praying to Him, this is what the book of Psalms is all about. Remember in the introduction I talked about, in the book of Psalms, we're encouraged to acknowledge our emotions. We're challenged to use them as a way to form intimacy with God. And so we can form this new perspective that God wants us to have by remembering who He is and what He's done, singing His songs in prayer. I think a third thing we see in this psalm is that we must develop a heart that praises God, whatever's going on. Now, praising the Lord at all times helps us develop that new perspective that we've talked about. David tells us in lots of the Psalms that by praising the Lord at all times, we're lifted above our fears. Praising God helps us recognize that He is greater than any problem that we face. In Psalm 34:2, David said, I will boast only in the Lord. And you might remember when we talked about this last week, and in week one, we use the word Hallel, and when it's put together, Hallel Yahweh, it's where we get our word, Hallelujah. And it's all about praising God. One of the songs that really meant a lot to me when I was walking through a dark valley, maybe you've heard it too, but it acknowledges our feelings like, God, where are you? Why haven't you stepped in and stopped this? And then it emphasizes the answer here from the sons of Korah. Maybe you know this song.
I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm merciful. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm.
This is one of many songs that got me through many a dark night. There wasn't anything I could do to change things that were happening, but in the midst of the storm, I could praise God. And He did rescue me. When you feel discouraged or brokenhearted, a lot of times you want to be alone. You know what I mean? But that's not the best thing to do. One of the best things you can do when you're feeling down is to be with the people of God. You see, we're not meant to function alone. We need each other. God made us with this need for community and belonging. And if you've been disengaging from people, or if you've been pulling back because of what you're going through, then the sons of Korah are telling us you need to determine to get connected with the family of God. So that whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through, you can do what this psalm tells us to do, to develop this passionate thirst for God, to develop this new perspective from God, not just looking down in the darkness and your pain, but looking at it from His perspective, and then developing this heart that praises God, even in the midst of the storm. Now, many ancient Hebrew manuscripts combine Psalm 42 and 43 into one psalm. So I think we ought to take a look and see why. If you still have your Bibles open there, Psalm 43 is only 5 verses. Look what it says. Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God, and I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. I love that imagery of the light. Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me and lead me to you. Did you catch it at the end of Psalm 43? We see that chorus about why am I so discouraged repeated again. And I love the other part of the line where the songwriters acknowledge, my Savior and my God. There's another song that Aaron Schust wrote about that. And I found a marvelous video talking about in the midst of life as it happens, praising my Savior and my God. I want you to check it out.
Skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior.
I take Him at His word and I just saved me this.
on high, and come for sinful man to die.
You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior
loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be.
Yes, living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my solace from to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior,
my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be.
Church family, my challenge for you this week is to get thirsty for the Lord. It's probably going to be a hot one, so drinking is good, but we want to drink from what the Lord has and spend some special time each day praising His name. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank You for this psalm from the sons of Korah that acknowledges that we do sometimes face troubling times in our lives, and sometimes we wonder where You are and why You haven't rescued us. And yet they give us sound advice to get thirsty for You, Lord, to look for Your perspective on things, and to develop this heart that passionately worships You even in the midst of the storm. So, Father, we thank You for this encouraging psalm of lament, for it ends with praise and purpose, and it encourages us to worship You and to serve You. We thank You so much that Jesus gives us living water so that we will never thirst again. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit that He sends to flow from us, empowering us to live the lives that You want us to live so we can bring honor and glory to Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to serve. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am.